This week's Parsha is Parshas Miketz. Today's Shir in Mirz Hashem should be a schus for a refuah shalema of Yehoshua Aaron ben Rachel. Okay. So we obviously know that Yosef was sold by his brothers, and then he spent time in jail, and he was pulled out of jail because he knew how to interpret dreams. Paro had dreams that, or nightmares that had kept him up at night, and he didn't know how to interpret them. And he was told that there's this person in jail that is able to interpret dreams, and he's pulled out of jail. And he comes to Paro and interprets his dreams, and Paro is dumbfounded. He finally got clarity into what he was thinking about as he was sleeping. And Paro was so enamored and was so appreciative. Ultimately, Paro made Yosef the viceroy of Egypt. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayikra Paro, Shem, Yosef, Tzafnas Paneach. He gave Yosef an entire makeover. Not only did he make him the viceroy of Paro, the second in command, but he changed everything about him. He changed his name. He now referred to Yosef as Tzafnas Paneach. Vayiten lo es Osnas bas Potiphera kohen on leisha, and he gave him a wife, Osnas, the daughter of Potiphera, who was a kohen on leisha. And then Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim, and Yosef went out to the land of Egypt. This pasuk on the surface might seem like a giant makeover, that when Yosef was able to interpret the dreams, Paro had such appreciation for what Yosef had done. He gave him everything, a name, a wife, power. But it's possible that there's something a little bit deep, a little bit more deep going on here. It seems like the changing of Yosef's name directly correlates and relates to the notion of him being given a wife and him going out to the land of Mitzrayim. Meaning, I'm suggesting that it's not simply a makeover, but rather there's something deeper going on here. There's a Vav HaChibor, and Paro gave Yosef a name, Vayiten lo, and he gave him a wife, and he went out to the land of Mitzrayim. It seems like there's a cause and effect. It seems like there's some connection. There's a smichos hayidios. There's a connection of ideas between Yosef being given a name by Paro to him having a wife and him going out to the land of Mitzrayim. Lemushel, for example, the Torah tells us, just to give you an idea as to how the Torah speaks, there's a cause and there's an effect. There's something that happens which brings about an action. For example, in Parshas Toldos, in Perichah Vav Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz. There is a famine in the land, Milvad HaRa'av HaRishon, besides the original famine that had taken place in the days of Avram. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech, Melech Plishtim Gerara. And Yitzchak went to Avimelech, who was the king of the Plishtim, to Gerar. Meaning, because there was a famine, Yitzchak went to a place where he could potentially take food, eat, satiate himself. Vayihi rav ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land. So what happened? Because there was a famine, Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech. Yitzchak went, and he went to Avimelech, who was the king of Plishtim. Because there was a famine, Vayelech, and he went. In other words, from our pasuk, it seems to be that Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef, that Paro called Yosef Tzafnas Paneach, and because of that, Vayiteng lo es osnas, he gave him osnas bas Potifera. What's the connection between Paro changing the name of Yosef to him being given osnas bas Potifera and him going out to the land of Egypt? There has to be some type of connection between all of these different disparate ideas found in this pasuk. That's my first question. My second question is, for the last 6 and now 7 days, 3 times a day, we've been reciting in our Shemoneh Esrei, and perhaps if we've washed, the Al Hanisim v'Al HaPorkon v'Al HaGevuros v'Al HaChuos. And we're giving Hodah, we're giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim, the miracles, and the salvation, the Gevuros, the mighty deeds, v'Al HaTeshuos, and all of our victories, v'Al HaMilchamos, and for the wars, she'asisa la'avosenu bayomim ohem, for which you performed for our forefathers in those days and bazman hazeh, at this time. We know it by heart. We know the song. We read it as if it's common. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles, the salvation, the mighty acts, the victories, the battles. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles, the milchamos. When do we ever thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the milchamos, the battles? I understand that we're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the salvation. We're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gvuros, the mighty deeds, the mighty acts of God. We're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the victories. But we're going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? In any of our tefillos, are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? Who wants a battle? Why would we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? So, some suggest that it refers to the salvation from the battles. But that can't be, because we've already recited V'al HaTeshuos. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the salvation. So asks the Chassam Sofer in his Drashos, Ma Hodah Al HaMilchamos. Why are we giving gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? So the Chassam Sofer comes and he tells us a very profound idea. He says that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a meitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he wants to do is bestow goodness upon us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to give and continue to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a meitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because he's kind and he's loving and he's compassionate and he is anosein. He's the ultimate giver. There isn't a limit to how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give. However, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give, we, the recipients, have to be deserving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's largesse, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's generosity. And the reality is most of us, if not all of us, are not Zoche. We don't deserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness and His kindness and His generosity. So what has to happen? We have to be cleansed. We have to endure a punishment, a battle. Throughout our history, throughout various periods, in Klal Yisrael's illustrious yet tumultuous history, we've always had to first experience suffering followed by something powerfully beautiful and rich. Klal Yisrael, to be zoche, to merit Eretz Yisrael, or to be zoche, to deserve Kabbalas HaTorah, we had to be cleansed in Mitzrayim. It's a prerequisite to all of God's goodness, because we're not deserving otherwise. For Klal Yisrael to experience the miracle of Chanukah, we first had to go through the Yevanim. We needed the cleansing period. We needed the battle. Only once we have the battle and we've been cleansed, now we deserve and now we merit the salvation. We merit the mighty deeds. We merit all the miracles. But first we need the milchamos. This is the understanding of the Chassam Sofer. Though I want to suggest something different based upon a Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos comes and tells us in the fourth chapter, the ninth Mishnah, Rabbi Yonasan Omer. Rabbi Yonasan says, Kol hamikayim es haTorah me'oni, that anyone who fulfills the Torah from poverty, sofo lekayama me'osher, ultimately, he's going to experience and be able to fulfill the Torah with wealth. This is a very difficult Mishnah to understand, because there are plenty of people that learnt plenty of Torah, great Tanoim, great Amoraim, that learned Torah me'oni, in poverty, and ultimately remained poor to the day that they died. And how do we understand, kol hamikayim es haTorah me'oni, that anyone who fulfills the Torah in poverty will ultimately come to fulfill it with wealth? So what I want to suggest is that when a person learns Torah and he's suffering in his learning, he's poor, he doesn't have food to eat, he doesn't have a warm house to sleep in, he doesn't have electricity to use while he learns, and every act of Torah is Mesiras Nefesh, and he's still able to steig, he's still able to grow, he's still able to develop into a bona fide Talmud Chacham, a bona fide Ben Torah. He has proven to himself how wonderful he is. He has shown himself that he is a gibor, he is a strong person. He has proven to himself that what doesn't break you will ultimately build you. He has proven to himself that he is a gibor, he is a strong person. It's so easy to learn Torah when the environment is pleasant, when you have all of your needs. And it's so easy to learn the sugyas of learning Torah in poverty. But to actually learn Torah in poverty, to actually have to be Moser Nefesh, to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, you've proven to yourself that you're legitimate. Anyone who fulfills the Torah Me'oni while in poverty, impoverished, not having the basic necessities to live, and still he's learning, ultimately you now have become an Oshir. You are someone who is a Gibor. You have proven to yourself that you are capable of anything in life. That's an usher. A wealthy person is not someone that has money in his wallet. A wealthy person is someone who realizes that I am a Gibor, I am a strong person, nothing can overcome my will to succeed. That can never be taken away from a person. Wealth is something that is eternal, that lasts, that remains, that endures. A person's integrity, a person's inner reservoir of strength, that's an usher. A person that simply comes and he invests for something that's finite. He invests in something that's easy, something that is not eternal, that if there are bad situations in life, he no longer has it. That's finite. So he's a poor person. But if someone has something that, regardless of conditions in life, regardless of how much money is in the bank, regardless of whether I'm suffering or not, and I still have that in my possession, that's an usher. That's a wealthy person. Because that can never be taken away from you. If we are defining our success, our wealth, by how much money we have in our bank, we are not a wealthy person. Because if eventually, ultimately, that's taken away. But if you have something that, regardless of the condition in life, you're still able to say that you own it, it's yours, you're an usher. To come, and in spite of all your difficulties and challenges, and you still are learning Torah, you're an usher. You're a wealthy individual. We are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the milchama, because a person isn't able to know who he really is unless he's in battle. A person isn't able to know what he is capable of accomplishing unless times are difficult. He's not living in times of peace. When things are going well, who's not going to sit and learn? Who's not going to take time out of his day and sit with his chavrusa and drink a cup of coffee? It's so easy. Why wouldn't I? But what's going to happen when things are difficult? When there's a battle going on? Where life is throwing curveballs? Living in tumultuous times? Not knowing what's going to be? Where am I going to get my food? And I'm still learning. I'm still fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I still am a Maimon. I still believe in Hashem. I am an usher. Look what I am capable of accomplishing. I feel so good. I see what I'm truly made of. I see the caliber of my being. I'm a chash of a person. But if not for the milchamos, if not for the battles, a person would never be able to see who he really is. He would never be able to identify his true self. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving hodah, we're thanking you. Thank you for giving me that milchama, that battle, that now I'm able to understand who I really am. And I am someone that loves you, that cares about you, that's willing to subject myself to torture just so that I can fulfill your mitzvos, Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, he was teaching Torah to Talmidim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to sit in on his shir. I want to hear this great Rabbi Akiva and his Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the end of the Beis Medrash. He wasn't worthy of getting any closer. Rabbi Akiva is teaching Torah that's esoteric. He doesn't understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu was chol sheidaiti. He was depressed. He couldn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, why are you giving the Torah through me? He should be the one that's been given the Torah, not me. And ultimately, the Gemara tells us what his end was, what his demise was. And the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us exactly what his demise was, how he was killed. He was killed, says the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Zman Kriyat Shema Haya." It was a time of Kriyat Shema. "V'hayu sarkin es besaro b'masrako shel barzo." They were combing his flesh with iron combs. "V'hayu mekabel olav ol malchus shemayim." Yet Rabbi Akiva was accepting upon himself the yoke of Shemayim, the sovereignty of God upon him. "Amr lo talmidav." His students said to him, Rabbeinu Ad Khan, Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, our teacher, Ad Khan, even to this extent, Amr Lahem, Rabbi Akiva said to them, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitzdayer al Pasukzeh, all my days I was troubled by this Pasuk, Bechol Nafshecha, with all of your soul means, Afilu Notel Es Nishmascha, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to take your soul. And Omarti, says Rabbi Akiva, I said to myself, Masa yavo liyodi v'akaymenu, when will the opportunity come to my hands that I may fulfill this pasuk? V'achshav shebo liyodi, and now that it has come to my hands, lo akaymenu, I'm not going to fulfill it. Hayamarich be'echad, Rabbi Akiva was drawing out, he elongated the word echad, at sheyatzasa nishmaso be'echad, until his soul departed with the Echad. Yatzasa Baskol, a Baskol came out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul departed with the word Echad. Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. But it was only when he was able to give his life did he ultimately reach the level where a baskel came out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. It's only when a person faces the most extenuating circumstances. Rabbi Akiva felt he had not accomplished anything in his life until he was able to fulfill the verse of Bechol Nafshecha, with all of your soul, which means, Afilu Notel Es Nishmascha, even if your soul were to be taken. A person can only reach the greatest of heights if he deals with struggle. If his kiyum ha-mitzvos, if his fulfillment of mitzvos is done through mesiras nefesh, only then does a person realize his true self, what he is truly capable of. And when he realizes what his true self is and what he is capable of, That is when he becomes an Osher. Sofo Lekaima Ba'osher. The greatest wealth is when a person recognizes who he really is, what he is capable of, what he is able to accomplish. The He'emek Dover, the Netziv's Perish on Chumash, he comes and he explains what's the word paneach, tzafnas paneach. What are the origins of this word? The Netziv comes and tells us that it's actually a combination of two words, pa and noach, meaning hofa'a v'kavod. He appeared, he presented himself in a dignified and regal and majestic way. Paro named him Paneach because he gave over a beautiful impression. I want to share with you the words of the Netziv. V'hakavona shekaru bozeh Hashem Acher. The intent of Paro calling him this name. Humishum shenispoil Paro. Paro was inspired. He was amazed. Me'otzem Kocho shel Yosef, by the sheer strength, the reservoir of control that Yosef possessed. Shehare mi shechai kama shanim b'shiflus. This is a person that lived many years in degradation. He lived as a pauper, as a prisoner. Umisale pitom bimale gavoa ma'od. And he was able to rise to such an unbelievable stature. Efshar lisbol. It's impossible. Vahare paro roe, paro saw, asher Yosef mi beis hasurim yotza limloch. That Paro left a prison to rule, to govern. V'lo nishtana kocho. And his power, his control never waned. He was the same Yosef. Paro saw that regardless of whatever experience Yosef was in, he had this inner strength, this inner beauty. Yosef understood that what doesn't break you will build you. Paro saw that Yosef was the same Yosef who was in Adam Shafil, who became a ruler. Which means that Paro understood that Yosef didn't define himself by his surroundings, by his circumstances in life, by how much money he had in the bank. Yosef forever defined himself as Malchus, as royalty. Because it would have been impossible for someone to be so low, to become so high. How many people do we know that win the lottery that are dirt poor, to become millionaires only to become paupers once again? Because they defined who they are by how much money they have. And it's impossible for a person who was so poor to become so rich to truly hold on to appreciate how his life has changed. But if someone believes that I'm defined by who I am as a person, by my integrity, by not being depressed or one day high, one day low, based upon my circumstances. Today the stock market is good, I feel great. Tomorrow the stock market is low, so I feel terrible. If a person defines himself by outside circumstances, he'll forever be an ani, forever be poor. Because he doesn't own anything. It's outside circumstances that are dictating who he is as a person. That's an ani. An ashir. Yosef Hatzadik was an ashir. Yosef Hatzadik was the same. He was a prisoner. He still felt like royalty. He was royalty. He felt no different as when he was in prison. Because ultimately, he knew who he was. He didn't change. He never lost his faith. He never lost his commitment. And you know what? When he revealed himself to his brothers, and his brothers were reported back to Yaakov that he was alive. So the Pesukim tell us that when was it that Yaakov believed his children that he was alive? Vayagidu lo lemor od Yosef chai. He was still alive. And he's a Moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And he's a ruler over the entire land of Egypt. But Yaakov didn't believe it. However, the pasuk continues and it says, but when they spoke to him about the agalos, about the wagons, Rashi comes and tells us, what were the wagons? The wagons was the Egla Arufa. That was the last sugya. That was the last topic of Torah that Yaakov learned with his son Yosef. He remained the same. He didn't change. He didn't define himself by how much money he had or his environment or his circumstances. And because of that, he remained an ashir. He was able to come out of prison and remain the same person. And that's what the psukim are telling us. The psukim are telling us the juxtaposition, the connection. Pyro called him this person because Pyro saw, he sensed, that he was a great person. And this is a person that was deserving of marrying a person in royalty because he himself was royalty. He held himself like royalty. How is it possible that Yosef, a prisoner, can marry Bas Botifera, Kohen only Isha? Or how can he go out to the land of Egypt and rule? The answer is because Pyro saw within him that he's not a prisoner, but he himself is royalty. He is an ashir. His location, where he was, didn't define him. That's not who he was. And Pyro saw that within him. He was a paneach. And therefore, vayitein lo es osnas. He gave him a daughter of royalty. And he was able to go out and rule the entire land of Egypt. The connection is that Pyro saw that he was an ashir. He was in the class of royalty. Vayitein lo es osnas. Or perhaps you want to say like the Das Haskenim. The Das Kenim comes. The Das Kenim comes and tells us that osnas was none other than the daughter of Dina. He remained who he was. He was someone who was deserving of marrying a child from Yaakov. He didn't change. He was the same Choshev Yid, the same great Jew. Because he didn't define himself only by the Yeshuos. He didn't only define himself by the salvations. but he also defined himself by the milchamos as well. He didn't shun or hide from the milchamos. He didn't fall from the battle. But rather, he was able to see how great he was because in spite of the battle. That's an usher. That's a rich man. We're all faced with challenges in life. We all have our own milchamos, our own difficulties, our own skeletons. But we have to use those to build us, not to break us. They don't define us. But we take all of our battles and all of our insecurities and use them for us to grow. We give Hodah Tashem. It's because of the battles that we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with even more clarity. A Freilich and Chanukah.